Welcome to the Massimedia Group 2015 Results Presentation Conference Call. My name is Christine, and I will be the operator for today's call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I will now turn the call over to Ms. Popeyes-Poper. You may begin.
Thank you very much, Christina. Hello, everyone, and thank you for waiting, and welcome to Matomi Media Group 2015 Result Call. We published our results early this morning, and those can be found on our investor relations website at investor.matomi.com. On the call today are Ofer Druker, Chief Executive Officer, Sagi Niri, Chief Operation Officer, and Karen Farge, SVP Finance. As the operator noted, the first part of today's call will be in listen-only mode. CEO Ofer Druker will give some prepared remarks about the results, and then we will open the call up to questions. Please note that the certain statement made during this call may pertain to forward-looking information. Although Matomi believes that the expectations reflected in this forward-looking statement are reasonable, we can give no assurance that this expectation will be fulfilled. Because this statement contains risk and uncertain, actual results may differ materially from those expected or implied of this forward-looking statement. We undertake no obligation to update any forward-looking statement, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise. Additionally, this call will include non-GAAP financial measurement. The definition or end reconciliation of such measurement can be found on our result release. With that, I will pass the call over to Chief Executive Officer Ofer Druker for some opening comments.
Thank you, Lipaz, and good day, everyone. Before I discuss the detailed financial results, I want to offer an update on the company's strategies and operation and highlight some notable achievements from the year. I'm also run through some of our objectives for 2016 before Sagi, Karen, and I take your question. One focal point in 2015, including investing in programmatic technology, building out our mobile and video offering, and expanding our geographic footprint into new territories. We are pleased to report that after a challenged first half of the year, this initiative fulfilled with a strong growth in our mobile, video, email, and domain monetization activities, and we were content to see total revenues for 2015 increase 14% year over year. This growth in revenue, coupled with improved efficiencies and cost control, led to a significant increase in adjusted EBITDA of 27% on a non-GAAP base. Shifting marketplace conditions and internal regulation changes made by some of Matomi Media trading partners caused much of the challenges we faced earlier this year. As a result, we made several important adjustments to Matomi business activities, which include increasing our focus on Matomi mobile and video activity across all media channels, enhancing our programmatic capabilities, which led to improved efficiencies and better results for customers, additional investment in the U.S., which is our largest market, supported by my relocation to Matomi New York's office, the development of proprietary technology to reduce dependency on third-party technology, and streamline our cost structure to improve operational efficiencies. Other significant achievements include the acquisition of Optimatic, a unique programmatic video advertising platform, in Q4 2015. This further strengthened Matomi programmatic offering for mobile and video channels and confirmed Matomi position as a leader in the video space. We also completed the full technical and operational integration of MobFox, one of the biggest mobile exchange SSPs platform in the world, which we acquired in the end of 2014. This strengthens Matomi mobile programmatic advertising capabilities, industry relationship, and customer base. Our mobile supply side platform is now one of the most innovative solutions in the world, and mobile revenues increased significantly, and we tripled the number of demand and supply partners. We also acquired Avello, a data-driven performance email marketing and ad targeting company, in Q2 2015. I will now provide some additional details around the financial results for the year of 2015. Revenues generated from aggregated mobile activity increased to $78.2 million as compared to $39.1 million in 2014. Mobile revenues accounted for approximately 30% of the company's revenues in 2015, compared to 20% in 2014, reflecting our increased focus on mobile. This was largely driven by MoFox revenues, Batomi's mobile SSP, which revenues increased nearly 200% in Q4 2015 compared to Q4 2014 following its acquisition in October 2014. Q4 2015, $7.12 million. Q4 2014, $2.37 million. Revenue generated from aggregated video activity increased 84% to $72.3 million. In 2014, it was $39.7 million. And in 2015, video results include $12.3 million revenue from acquisition of Optimatic. Revenue generated from aggregated programmatic advertising activity across all media channels increased 33% and accounted for approximately 60% of Matomi revenues in 2015, compared to 45% in 2014. Revenues generated from domain monetization increased 23% to $54.3 million, up from $44.1 million in 2014, and on a pro forma basis, assuming Team Internet was acquired in January 2014. Adjusted EBITDA increased by 27% to drive an adjusted EBITDA margin of 9.5%, representing a 100 basis point improvement in margin. Adjusted net income increased by 14%, mainly attributable to improved efficiency measures through enhanced programmatic capabilities and streamlined cost structure. We rounded out the year with a strong balance sheet, with net cash of $13.5 million. 2014 was $28.9 million after self-funding a payment of $20 million in connection with the acquisition of Optimatic, reflecting a positive operational cash flow. Finally, I wish to discuss our outlook for the remainder of financial 2016. As we enter 2016, we are encouraged by our ongoing progress and increasingly confident about both our short-term and long-term prospects. In 2016, we will build on our previous success with MoFox to become among the global leaders in mobile performance-based advertising. We aim for 50% of revenues to be generated by mobile by the end of 2017. We will also leverage the Optimatic acquisition and Matomi existing video activity to become among the global leaders in programmatic advertising. We continue to invest constantly in new product innovation to support our proprietary technology, technological offering, and unique selling point. We also seek complementary acquisition that further strengthen these capabilities. There is still a significant untapped global market where our services can be utilized. 2016 will be marked our expansion into Asia Pacific market as we look to launch our first two Asian offices in China and South Korea later this year. Furthermore, the U.S. continues to represent a major opportunity for us, and we have already taken steps to grow our presence in North American market, including relocating members of the management team to New York. With that, Sagi, Karen, and I will be happy to take your questions.
Pardon me, should we open it for questions?
Yes.
Yes, please.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star then one on your touch tone phone. If you wish to be removed from the queue, please press the pound sign or the hash key. If you are using a speakerphone, you may need to pick up the handset first before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touch tone phone. Our first question comes from Simon Davis from Canaccord Genuity. Please go ahead.
Yeah, morning, guys. A few from me.
Morning.
Can we kick off with Team Internet? Can you talk a bit about the level of profitability last year, what you view as the time frame for the likely purchase of the minority 30% holding, and what the current valuation approximately for that holding would be?
Just a second.
Karen, you want to take this question?
Yeah. Okay, so hi guys. The EBITDA for Team Internet for 2015 was $10.3 million. Their first put option is this year, around October 2016. Basically, they have like a year to exercise this option. The way we calculate this option is according to a fixed formula. It's based on their EBITDA multiplied by a certain multiplier, basically, and that's how we calculate the redeemable non-controlling interest of Team Internet in the balance sheet. Basically, it's not a simple minority interest. It's based on this formula.
So roughly what would be the cost of exercise at this stage?
If you are taking, let's say, last year numbers, take last year numbers and multiplier, it's a... You can answer, Karen. Sorry.
Yeah, okay. It's their first put option is 10%. So basically it will be around $8 million.
Okay. Brilliant. Thank you very much. Secondly, can you talk a bit about the relationship with Publicis? Obviously, you've been talking about various trials taking place. Where are we with that process, and what are your expectations in terms of the likelihood of seeing material revenues coming through from Publicis?
So there is a long process to get verified by VivaKey, which is the buying arm of Publicis, or at least the verification arm of a Publicis. We are basically in the last stages to some of our platform. We are in the last stages in order to get verification of VivaKey, and then we need to be integrated into their agencies in order for them to start buying traffic from us and media from us. Until now, they were not a meaningful portion of our revenues in any of the channels that we are driving, and we didn't took into account into this budget that there will be one. So we are not relying on their budget to come, but we prepare that after all this process that we did, we will be able to catch some of their, to do some business activity with Publicis.
And when do you think realistically we could start to see some of that come through?
Most of the cooperation with Publicis will be on the programmatic level, and on the programmatic level, it's very hard to understand when, you know, what will be the volumes and when it will start happening. But we are aiming that it will happen in the second half of this year, that we'll start seeing revenues coming from Publicis.
Yeah. You talked about taking out costs, which happened, I guess, midway through last year. Can you talk about how much headcount reduction and the annualized cost savings from that process?
Karen, you have the numbers in front of you?
Yeah, just a second.
Let me just, before Karen talk about the numbers, let's talk about the quality steps that we did. So in the past 2 years, we built in Matomi a lot of tools which are basically moving a lot of the activities that were done manually to become more programmatic and done by our platform. And we increased in the past 2 years in the investment around this because of two issues. First of all, because the market is moving to programmatic, as everybody can see, and in order to communicate and work with other platforms, you need to have programmatic capabilities. And on the other side, we understand that we cannot we need to build systems that will be able us to grow and scale up without adding more and more headcount. So in the last year, in 2015, basically what we did, we already enjoy from the fruits of the first platform that we released on programmatic level. We were able to reduce the number of employees in the company, and basically also going forward, most of our platforms don't need a lot of manpower in order to grow the numbers. Also this year we are not adding a lot of headcount to the company because we are relying more on programmatic. Karen, you have the numbers or you want to touch it later?
It's around $4 million and reduced around 30 employees.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much. And lastly, back in April, May time, you talked about disruption in the market from some of the advertising exchanges filtering out low quality or fraudulent traffic. Where are we in that process, do you think? Do you think the market has started to stabilize, and what are you seeing in terms of the pricing environment for display and mobile traffic?
Okay. So the process is an ongoing process. I think that the major change happened in last April, and in a sense, since then, there were still a few more changes in the marketplace coming from basically the exchanges and also from coming from the side of the advertisers that are looking for more viewability, and in order to remove the issue of non-human traffic and stuff like that, that was happening in some cases in the industry. But it's a process that I think that will continue also during the coming years. The main effect, it already happened to the marketplace, to our understanding, and in a sense the pricing level is getting back to, let's say, we see that the traffic is getting back to normal. But I want to make one comment that I think that it's important to understand on display. I think that the display in general is moving to a different direction than it was like even just like 1 year ago. In the last year, what happened is that a lot of the traffic moved to become more mobile. So even if we are talking today about display, it's more about a mobile web than the desktop display that we saw in the past few years. That's one. And the second thing is that most of the big publishers that are running today advertising, they are trying to reduce the size of or the volume of the capability of their display activity and the banner activity, and mostly focus on other sources of revenues like native. So we see that the pricing is changing also because I think the display, the attractiveness of display is going down. Basically what Matomi did, Matomi switched most of our display activity to video activity and to mobile web. And that's how we basically moved the focus of our company to mobile and video, and that's where we are running now. But in general, I think that this is a long process. It started long time ago. I think that the main change happened last year in April, if you remember, when we gave the profit warning, and from there on, there is a lot of different and small changes, but they are not meaningful as the one that we saw in April. And Matomi, as we discussed, moved his attention to video and mobile, and also created its own platform, so we are less relying on this different platform, which are external platform to Matomi.
Great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Peter McNally from Shore Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Peter.
Hey, guys. Just a quick question on your cash generation. The cash was a massive improvement over last year. $18.7 million from operational activities versus a slight loss last year. Now, part of that was due to, obviously, the profits that you made, but part of it was actually due to working capital management as well, where it seems that you had quite high working capital requirements last year, and they seem to have come down quite a lot this year, which has benefited you. Is that, can we read anything into that? Is that going to slightly reverse in the year ahead, or do we think this is sort of the nature of how the quality of the publishers that you're working with has changed. Can you give us any sort of indication on that, please?
Yes. Basically, we believe that it will remain the same. This is mainly we reduce the balances of the account receivable, mainly in the video activity. We actually succeed in balancing the balance of the account receivable, and actually made a really good, really aggressive collection effort. And basically, I think that unless the video activity will increase significantly more than what we are expecting, then the working capital will be the same. Our needs of working capital will be the same.
Okay, great. Is that something that's specific to video? Because I know the receivables on the video side were, I think the nature of them were, they had very long credit terms, and is that what's causing this to sort of reverse from where we were last year?
Yes, basically in the video activity, the payment terms is longer than the regular payment terms in the industry, so it's around the net 90s and even more, and basically this is the main reason. We actually succeed in reducing these payment terms and collect the money even earlier than expected.
Okay, that's great. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Bertie Barrett from Edison Investment Research. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hi. I have a question on social. I was a little surprised to see that your social category was suffering so much. So I was just wondering if you could expand on your comments there about some of, you know, these global trends of advertisers bringing social in-house, because that's the first time I've come across that. And also the follow-on comment that you've got about, you know, driven by Facebook's agency policy, that the advertisers making their payments direct to media costs, what exactly that does that mean? And I guess, you know, in talking about that, if you could talk about whether this is a part of the market that you plan to continue to focus on, or, you know, whether you can counter that by developing your private exchanges.
Okay. So social is challenging because, as you mentioned, a lot of advertisers are basically taking this activity in-house, but in a sense, Matomi has a lot of other potential to grow, and we are trying to direct the advertisers to our platforms in order to buy traffic or to buy it on the other exchanges that we are working and operating on. So basically, our activity on social, I don't think that it will not grow a lot, but it will still steady growth in the next couple of years because there is a lot of room to grow with the new product that Facebook is delivering and building. But of course, our ambitions will be to educate and to show our clients about the benefits and about the advantages that our product can bring to them. And we have today a lot of products that we acquired and built in the past 2 years that we can offer them and can generate for them really good results for their, let's say, the targets and the engagement that they are trying to reach. In general...
Sorry, I was going to say, why specifically are they bringing it in-house in the first place? I mean, if they're not bringing
Not everybody is giving it, not everybody is pushing it in-house, but they want to have this capability because they believe, I think, that if they are investing such big sums of money in advertising, they want to keep the data to themselves, they want to keep the knowledge to themselves, they don't want to be in third party that they don't control, and it makes sense for many reasons. But it's still, Facebook is a place that, you know, a lot of companies can cooperate with and can make a good advance to their clients and so on. But some of the clients, like it happened in the past with search, prefer to take it in-house in order to keep the knowledge and the data to themselves, in a sense.
Okay. And if I could just have another question on the domain monetization as well. That's now your second largest category of advertising.
Yes.
And I think you said two-thirds of the increase was obviously because of the acquisition. But also that in the remaining $10 million of the increase from last year, there was the acquisition of NameDrive. Are you able to strip that out just so we can get an understanding of what the underlying growth rate is of that category for you?
I didn't fully understand what you're asking to know.
Okay, I'll rephrase it.
Okay.
Is there any? Can you tell us what the underlying organic growth rate is for the domain monetization business?
Okay.
It's a big category for you now, with the few acquisitions, it's not clear.
Okay, NameDrive was a relatively small acquisition. It's not a major one. Karen maybe can provide you more numbers about it around this. Let's say, what is the attribution of NameDrive? But in general, Team Internet is growing. The growth that we just presented is not coming mostly from this acquisition. It's coming from organic growth of the company.
Okay.
Karen, do you have the numbers in front of you?
Yes. Basically, the acquisition of NameDrive contributed $600,000 in the EBITDA. So mainly, if we are going to look at the organic growth, so there is a 26% growth in the organic EBITDA of Team Internet.
In organic growth of EBITDA?
Yes.
Okay. And the revenues?
In the revenue... Twenty-two percent growth.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. And once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. We have a question from Daniel Marin from Lumet Meet Partner. Please go ahead.
Thank you. It's Daniel Marin from Lumet Partners. Hi, also Sagi and Karen. Also, can you describe a little bit more about the competitive environment now? We've been probably 18 to 24 months into the consolidation of this industry. How do you see it now, and how would you describe your positioning in this industry, and how do you think the organic growth rate would be for the whole industry in the next couple of years? And if you can just also touch upon the various growth drivers in the coming years.
Okay. So if you are looking on the ecosystem as a whole, there are only a few companies in this market which are profitable and growing in the sizes that Matomi is reporting upon. If you are looking on the industry, and we are excluding for a moment the two giants which are Facebook and Google, and we are looking on the other companies which are traded or out there, there are only a few companies which are, as I said, which are profitable, and there are only a few companies which are growing even in the sizes that we are growing now on the top line without being profitable. And I think that in the coming 12 to 18 months, there will be a consolidation in the marketplace. A lot of companies which are traded and companies which are private and basically lost in their views their ability to go public, because they see what happened to companies in Nasdaq, for example, in the valuation, and also, of course, in our market. But in Nasdaq, it's also very blunt to see that companies are traded today in enterprise values which are very, very low. And in a sense, all these companies will start, I think, in the 12, 18 months now to consolidate and building bigger companies in order to become more meaningful in the marketplace. I think that from a capabilities point of view, I think that the two main drivers of this industry will be mobile and video, and video will also play a very important role in the growth of mobile, because as researchers are saying, most of the revenues or big portion of the revenues of mobile advertising will come from video advertising. And all of that, it will be done more and more programmatically. There are a lot of researchers now in the market that are showing the growth of programmatic in the market. Everybody was talking about it, but the volumes and the let's say the acceleration of the size of programmatic in the business is amazing, and amazing a lot of the players also. And in a sense, this will be the game in the end of the day. Who the winners will be the people that will have strong capabilities around mobile, video, and to add to that, performance, because performance is the business model that people like to work upon, because they understand the benefit, of course, of the internet and digital, and they want to get performance elements in line into their activities and campaigns that they are running. And as I mentioned, everything needs to be done programmatically. I think that if I'm looking on Matomi, what we did in the last 15 months, we basically took and acquired MobFox, which was a great platform, and make it even much more sophisticated, innovating today. And we added to that a very strong capabilities in mobile that we developed by ourselves. And we add to that very strong capabilities that we add to that on the video front, converting a lot of our specialties and knowledge around display to video, and then the acquisition of Optimatic. And if we are looking from above, we see that Matomi today has very strong two bases around video and mobile, and very strong programmatic activity. About 60% of our company revenues are coming today from programmatic activity, and we have a DNA of for many, many years of performance. So I think that in today's market, we are very, very well positioned today for the beginning of 2016, for the next 2 years, in order to be a meaningful player in this world, and in a sense, to cut or to ripe the fruits that we worked so hard in the last 2 years in order to build these capabilities internally and through acquisitions. I think that the acquisition of Optimatic is very important also in order to fuel in the future our MobFox one, because of, as I said, because of the connection between video and mobile, that is, Optimatic will be able to fuel MobFox and vice versa, and to support each other growth.
Okay, that's very helpful. And also, can you maybe try and give us a sense on what is the expected benchmark growth for the ad tech industry or the specific segments that you guys are targeting, roughly?
It's very hard to do that, I think, because every company today in the market, if you look at it and you will try to segment them, you will see that most of the, let's say, video companies that are traded in Nasdaq are not going, the analysts are not giving them a lot of growth potential in the next 12 months, and I think that it's because of their past performance. It's not because of their future capabilities. So I think that it's very hard to know it. And most of the companies here are giving a next month forecast, and they are not giving yearly forecast. So it's very hard to know. But I think that the market in general is the industry is going to keep growing by 10 to 15% this year also, in most cases. But you have to remember that most of the companies has a few elements that is changing between themselves. If you look on Rubicon and TubeMogul and let's say Tremor and Yumi and all these companies, each one of them has special flavor and different flavor, and that's the reason that is influencing also their growth capabilities in a sense. So it's very hard to generalize them and say one number.
Okay, and last one for me. You talked a little bit about the geographic expansion, specifically in the Far East. Can you elaborate a little bit on your regional capabilities? What do you see yourselves positioned in the U.S. and North America versus Europe versus the U.S.? Can you kind of like characterize each segment?
Yeah. First, let's start with Asia-Pacific. In Matomi, when we are looking on the big players in mobile and social that are developing product and wants to develop and market them and distribute them in the West, there is a lot of companies in China that is doing that. lot of giants there that got really good products, game, it can be games, it can be utilities, it can be e-commerce platforms and so on. And basically, in the past, these companies were working through mediators in Europe or in the US in order to market and distribute their products. In today's world, in the last two or three years, they are doing it from their bases in China, and they are using technologies like Matomi in order to reach their markets. We are already doing very nice businesses in Asia, in China, in Korea, and so on. But in order to grow it and to take it to the next level, in order to fuel, again, MobFox and our social activity and our video activity, we believe that we need to be on the ground in Asia in order to be close to our clients, in order to bring from them more budgets, and also to work with them as media partners. That's why we are going to expand into this market, and we believe that it will be very rewarding for us in order to keep growing our mobile activity, social activity, and in the future also our video activity. That's one. Regarding the U.S., I think that in the U.S., about 55% of our revenues right now are coming from the U.S. market. I think that it's a lot thanks to the video growth, because most of the video activity, most of the video revenues are done in the U.S., and I think that in the next year or two, it will continue to be a very important market for Matomi. And the presence of Matomi here in the U.S. is very important in order to attract the big advertisers, the big publishers, in order to work with us. You need to be closer to them, understand their needs, and understand their ambitions, and to be able to provide them a very good and close service, in a sense. And that's what we are doing. And in the end of the day, the biggest market, the homogeneous market in the world from that is, let's say, achievable for a company like Matomi is the U.S. market. And that's why we need to keep investing in this market where most of the marketeers are based, most of the attraction of even developers from, as I just mentioned, from China and Korea are targeting to the U.S. market. So you need to have a very strong infrastructure in the U.S. market, and that's what we are doing in the past few years, and we enhanced it this year. In Europe, I think that when you're looking at Europe is, in general, in total, is a big market, but it's still very segmented one. And for us, it's still generating a nice portion of revenues. But as I said, we have to, if we need to put a focus on two markets or two geographies that will make the change and will keep growing the company, no doubt that first one is the U.S. and the second one is, as I just mentioned, Asia and Asia-Pacific, because from there, there is a lot of growth, a lot of companies that are investing a lot of money in distribution of their products in the West, and we want to be close to them in order to enjoy from these budgets.
Okay, understood. Thank you, Ofer. Good luck going forward.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Steve Leakey from Investec. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Can you break out a figure for organic growth in the second half? In revenue
last year, this year,
yeah, for fiscal all the second half 15. So organic growth in revenue in the second half overall at group level.
You want it versus the second half of 2014?
Yeah, second half.
One second.
I mean, you can give me a pro forma figure based on, you know, because I guess what I'm trying to do is get some sort of feel for, or stripping out the acquisitions, you know, what they've done to the overall number. So if you give me a pro forma against the acquisitions that you bought in the period from pre-acquisition or whatever, whichever way works for you.
The only revenue that we, let's say, acquired in the last 6 months of 2015 was $12 million that we added from Optimatic acquisition. That's it. But Karen, I sure can provide you.
Okay. Well, that's a good start, to be honest with you, the $12 million figure. Yeah. Okay. maybe I can ask it another way, which is sort of if you took the business as it is today, what is your monthly revenue run rate in dollars currently?
We are not giving these numbers.
Okay.
We are not sharing with the number with the market.
Okay. So a sort of pro forma like for like would be good. Can I ask another question while we're waiting for that?
Yeah.
Just on your gross margin, it's down marginally year on year, and I know it sort of dipped in the first half. But I'm just trying to get a feel for the moving parts in your business. What do you think is a good gross margin for you as a business with all the different moving parts going forward on a 1 to 2 year view? Can it go up? Will it go down with more mobile? Just try and help me understand the way that that's going to work.
Okay. So in our business, as you said, there is a lot of moving parts and we have a lot of channels of media. We are aiming to keep the growth, the gross margin as it is now, as you can see in our report, because in the end of the day, it's a mix of all our activities. Of course, there are activities which are, let's say, the market conditions and the industry standards are lower than our, let's say, average growth, which is meaningly, let's say, if you're looking on SSP models, it's the revenues that you are generating are low. But again, also on that matter, you have a lot of revenues that you are counting only the revenues that is coming to you from the activities of the SSP, which are added, you know, just to the bottom line in the end of the day. So it's very hard to say, to differentiate it and to say, you know, how it will affect. In general, we are keeping the margin. We are at around 20, correct me if I'm wrong, Karen, but we are between 28 to 29% in a gross margin. And that's what we are keeping in the past 18 months. We are even getting it a little bit better lately. And the goal is to keep it around that through the mix of all our businesses. And I think that also the activities that we are doing when we are looking forward will enable us to support this gross margin.
Great, thank you. So
I have the numbers.
Okay, go on. Far away.
As for the gross margin, this year it was 28.2, and we expected that it will remain stable, okay, around 28, a little bit more than 28. As for the organic growth, basically, as Ofer said, the only thing that I needed actually to exclude it is the $12 million of Optimatic. So basically, the organic growth was around 3%.
Sorry, just repeat that number. I didn't hear it.
3%.
3% organic. That's overall group level.
Because we are replacing revenues. It's when you're looking on the top line, that's the number. But basically what we are doing, you have to remember that we replaced a lot of revenues that were like in display desktop to mobile and to video. So in general, when you're looking at that, it's like we are getting more stabilizing the revenues of the company and not just growing the top line, because you have to replace the business model of display that was shrinking, of course, affected it. But if you look on unit by unit, like the video unit, which grow very much without Optimatic, it grow by from $40 to $60 million. The mobile activity that grow from Q4 2014 to Q4 2015 by 200%. So there is a lot of growth that is happening inside the units, but you see in overall that is being eroded because of the drop of the display. The good news is that basically the display element is much more limited now in our revenues, and it shouldn't be affect us in the future on the top line of growth.
Okay, so when you said you thought the industry would probably grow, I think you said 10 to 15% overall, would you expect to exceed that in the current year from an organic perspective?
Again, Batomi is a mix of a few business models. that is generating revenues from four different channels. You have mobile, you have video, you have domain monetization, and you have email marketing. Some of these units can grow by this number and even more. Some of them are more stable and can't, but in general, yes.
Okay, great. And one last question on the gross margin. Can you just say...
Yeah, I want to add something before. Can I add something before?
Although the
organic growth in the revenue was around 3%, the organic growth in the EBITDA was 38%, which is very, very high. Okay, H1, H2 versus
yeah,
H2.
Yeah, the second half. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. And just for one last one on the gross margin. If you took your mobile business on its own, would the margin be materially lower than the group margin at the gross margin level?
No, not materially, no.
Not materially.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. We have no further questions at this time.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. And let's hope for a great 2016. Have a nice day.
Thank you. And thank you,
thank
ladies
you.
And gentlemen. Thank you. This concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.